Yeah, you know it's got to be a somewhat undesirable job when nobody wants to do it. I was the last man standing, so it was my turn. I am grateful to be able to serve, though, and happy to be able to be pastor this year. I'm grateful to our brother Gary, and he certainly had his share of struggles throughout this last year, but I'm grateful for his leadership, and I'm grateful for each one of you. I am pleased to be able to be here tonight. If you are subscribed to the Daily Bread email thing that Andy and Gary had been doing, and I've taken over, and I'm just sending it out twice a week. But I had sent out an email with some thoughts and things in preparation for our sacrament service, and I'd sent that out. And one of the things I talked about in there was how, you know, I was going to be working. I got off work this morning, and so I'd been, you know, there for the last 2 days at work. And I had mentioned in there, you know, that for those who don't know, the fire service is about 75% of a men's locker room. The kind of talk and conversation and things that goes on there, that's what happens about three quarters of the time. And I have a crew that's a very good crew. They're very respectful of me. I have proclaimed myself and what I believe, and I'm a minister and all of these things, and they do a pretty decent job of toning it down, but not taking it away. And so it's been something that I've really been challenged by, how to keep my mind and to be prepared for the service and to not get just taken in the conversations and the things of this world. I can't say as I'm always done a good job, and it's certainly being a challenge. I would say that, you know, as one of the things I was praying about was that I could be focused when I came today. And one of the things that on our second night of work, after we eat dinner, as long as we're not busy with calls and things like that, it's kind of considered family time. And by that family, it's the crew that's there. It's about us spending time together. And it's pretty important to the culture and kind of the, just as any family would be. And as a probationary firefighter, it's kind of expected that I'll participate. So I've really been praying that whatever it is, it's typically sitting down and watching a movie or whatever it is. Whatever it is, Lord, would you, not that I want you to take every challenge from me, that I never have to, you know, stand up and say, I don't want to watch that. Not to take that away, but would you just help me as I kind of ease into this? And last night was pretty good. We'd been tired all day. We sat down to watch a documentary, which was totally mellow. And I fell asleep promptly in the chair and woke up and told my captain I was going to bed and had a pretty good night and felt like I was able to come to church this morning with my mind a little bit more focused. And I felt like that was a real blessing. I do have some thoughts that I want to share today. I know that in the live streaming world who's on right now, not everybody who's watching is from Phoenix. This message I feel like is applicable to the church, but this is a message which I want to lay out my goal, at least one of my goals for the Phoenix local this year as pastor. One of the things I hope to encourage and to foster and to challenge each one of you to, and again, this isn't necessarily, if you're not in Phoenix, it's not that this isn't applicable to you, but this is on my heart. Our brother Andy, several years ago when he was pastor, and even before that, our brother Jim, when he was pastor, and Gary and I were his assistants, you know, we sat down at the beginning of the years and we said, what's our goal? What do we want to accomplish this year? If we can say, this is what we hope to accomplish within the year, what would it be? And so I wanted to make sure I did that. I think it's important. I think it's important to have something that we're looking towards. I've spent some time in prayer just considering this. Lord, what is it that you want? What goal? And I have a few of them, but what would be this overarching goal that you would have for me to share with the Phoenix local? What is it that you would have for me to be motivated by, and hopefully each one of our brothers and sisters? And you know, my title is fellow, and you might think that's really weird, and it is. It's weird. We're going to talk about this. I'll start here in 1 John 1 through 4. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested. And we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we may also may have fellowship with, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. We're going to look at a handful of uses of the word fellow in conjunction with other words to talk about what it is that I hope to call us to for this year, what I want us to have in the back of our mind. And when we hear that, the first thing we're going to think about is the word fellowship. And I want you to understand that everything we go on from this slide, it has to do with this fellowship that we have one with another and with Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in this world, there is always going to be an importance of the unity of the gathering together, physically if possible, if it has to be over computer. There's something that is essential about the gathering together and the strengthening of the family of the body of Christ. And we do it because we are stronger together, even if it's over a computer screen, when we find ourselves being strengthened and supported by brothers and sisters, and when we worship the Lord together, we have fellowship one with another and with Him. Life is good, even though it might be challenging, even though we might have difficulties. And I want to talk about that because this is important to me. I mean, every one of you who knows me knows that I value greatly social interaction. If you wanted to find the most perfect way to destroy me, you would stick me in solitary confinement. I would die. Wouldn't be able to do it. I need interaction. And as a Christian, and as a member of the body of Christ, and as a member, someone who has spent just shy of 39 years sitting in these pews, I need my brothers and sisters. You're important to me. I don't come here because of you, but you are a tremendous blessing to be a participant with. And so fellowship and being a fellow with you is incredibly important to me. You know, once Christ had ascended, he had gone back to his Father. You know, he had laid the responsibility of the gospel and how it spread and where it went. You know, man had to do it. He guided and he directed, but it was men who had to take it. And so here in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, Christ, this is where he had this conversation with the disciples, and now he was going and he was going to ascend. And he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so he gives them this responsibility. Your job now is to share, is to build, is to be a part of growing this gospel, telling, building this family of Christ. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, stood two men in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And we see something very similar here, at least this responsibility in the Book of Mormon, 3 Nephi 13, 35 through 36. It was after Christ had ascended, and this is what the people did. It came to pass that they did go forth among all the people of Nephi, and they did preach the gospel of Christ unto all the people of the face of the land. And they were converted unto the Lord, and they were united unto the church of Christ. And thus the people of that generation were blessed according to the word of Jesus. And this was what, you know, when Christ ascended, the gospel became this responsibility of men to go forth and to build and to teach and to join together and to fellowship and all of that. This word fellow, Webster's 1828 dictionary, you see I've got definition 1, 2, 3, and 5, because 4 is not necessarily applicable here. But a fellow is a companion or an associate, one of the same kind. I have two fellow shoes, is kind of the way you do that. An equal, one equal or like another. So I want to talk about this. This gospel is ours, what we do with it, where we go with it. For those of you who are here, if you didn't listen to, you weren't present for those of you who are live streaming, if you didn't listen to, if you weren't present for, the last time our brother Andy Brown preached, he talked about when we put wood on the fire. Everybody remember that? So we put wood on the fire before the fire goes out. If there's something that every one of us has to do, or else the fire of this gospel, the fire of this local, all those things, you know, it does fade. We have a responsibility. And I want to challenge throughout this year, I want to challenge you. I want you to challenge me. I want us to call each other up and hire. I want us to find where we might have some difference of opinions, where we see things different. I want us to be able to come together and find an understanding of each other, because we are fellows. We are companions. We are one of the same kind, Christians, children of God. Jay, being an apostle, is an equal yet to me. Oh, maybe not in his calling and the responsibilities given him, but you know, Jay and I are both children of the Most High. Like another. So let's talk about this. You know, my goal, this first overarching goal for the Church of Christ Phoenix Local for 2021, we're going to see this word fellow coupled with several other significant and meaningful words, and they're going to put together to form a purpose or an impression. This is what I want to talk about. So we're going to start here, and we look in Scripture and we see this. Some of my Scriptures are in the Bible, just so you can see where it's at, where I grabbed this from. And this first one is fellow disciple. Remember what fellow means, right? A companion, an equal. We look at this and we find this, and we find it in a couple places, at least this concept, but John 11:16. And it says, you know, this is just where the disciples were traveling. All it says here, it says, Thomas, which is called Didymus, said unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we might die with him. You know, it makes this statement, they were fellow disciples. And, you know, I'm just pulling that one simple word, because I thought it was interesting where it was said there. It says, fellow disciples, those who were companions in being disciples. They were a co-learner of Christianity. I want us to think about that as we go to this year, is this. We're all still learning. We're all still disciples. And to use Jay as an example again, not to pick on him, but he's the only apostle sitting in here, you know. Jay certainly knows more than I do of the gospel, but you know, he's learning and I'm learning. We're still going. We're still going. Every time I open my Scriptures and I read and I try to understand, I find something new. It's new. I think it's important. You know, part of this learning is also learning each other. We're all still figuring out each other, huh? And this last year has helped us to see each other differently. We're learning different things about each other, some frustrating, some not, right? We've all been there. I'm not the only one. Why? Because we're still learning. We're co-learners. We're still in this together. We're still learning about, we're still trying to figure out how we are this follower of Christ. We're in it together. Just as Thomas and his fellow disciples, they were in it together. In fact, in this one, you know, Thomas says, hey, let's go with Christ, even if we have to die with him. He says, you who are bound together with me in this learning of Christ, we're going to go together. 2 Nephi 11:43, you know, he makes this statement. I think this is Jacob who says, he says, we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. You know, there's such an effort put forward that we could have the Scriptures, the words, the thoughts, the impressions, the things that the Lord put upon his people over the years to persuade us to believe in Christ. But you know, those things are still happening. We're still learning. We're fellow disciples. You're learning and I'm learning. And you know, one of these things that we have to remember is that we're not all in the same place. We're not all there. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul tells the people, he says, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. You know, lift each other up. Build each other up. I thought I had put a definition for edify in there. Because if I remember right, I think it's talking about building a foundation. This is what we do. Nephi says in this reading here that I probably use every time I preach, because it's powerful to me. It's got all these things that matter to me as he's talking about the challenges of of following after Christ. He says, my soul delights in the scriptures. My heart ponders them and writes them for the learning and profit of my children. My soul delighteth in the things of the Lord. My heart pondereth continually upon those things which I have seen and heard. So I want to ask us, and I want you to consider this year. What is your intention? To help each other as a co-learner, as a fellow disciple, someone who's still learning, someone who's still coming up in Christ. What's your intentions this year? You guys probably notice this of me, that you know, when I have an opportunity, I'm often either teaching or I'm posing questions for you guys to think about. You have to answer these things. Those of you who've been getting the daily bread, you know, I'm just asking you to think about things. Think about how you would do this or that. I want us this year to be better at being fellow disciples. Each of us encouraging each other to learn of Christ. I want us to get in the scriptures. I want you to get in the scriptures, and I want you to talk to somebody about what it is that you've read and what you took from it. I feel like for so long, you know, my job as a minister, it's pretty well defined, and you know, it's important that we have ministry who are here to preach and to teach and things like that, but oh, we're not the possessors of the gospel. You are able to read this word. You are able to pray about a scripture, about something. You are able to read it and have the Lord impress upon you some understanding, something like that. And I want to encourage us to that. You know, there is just way too much in the gospel for us to know and to be well equipped for the day in which we live for you to count on a few of our brothers standing up here for an hour every Sunday. There's just too much. You have to be in it. And so I'm going to continue to encourage us, and I'm going to ask you to read things and talk to people. You'll see in my emails, I've said, I want you to talk to someone who's not in your household. You don't have to go to somebody at the grocery store. It'd be awesome if you did. But talk about these things. Text Gary. Text me. Text Kenny. He probably won't answer. I have a hard time getting Kenny to answer. Hey, I read this scripture. What do you think about this? This is how I'm putting it to use this week. I want us to be fellow disciples. We are together, still learning this thing called following Christ. We have to be patient. We're going to continue to learn how to be patient with each other. As all of us are trying to get there, we're going to be challenged. Technology is a challenge. It's going to continue to be a challenge. I hope we're willing to step up to the challenge. That we can be co-disciples. We can be fellow learners, fellow disciples. We see this word fellow prisoner. All right, remember, so we go back to what that word fellow meant. All right, a companion, an associate, one of the same kind. Fellow prisoner. We read this in Philemon. You may not be real familiar where Philemon is at because it's one page. Very short read. It's right before Hebrews. You'll flip past it. And I remember where it's at because I remember the song that we learned for the New Testament. So I have to sing it when I'm looking for that. But verse 23, it says, "Salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." And that word fellow prisoner, you know, it is one full word. And it says a co-captive. It's built from two different words. This first is this Greek 4862, which means a union with or together. Every single word we're going to talk about, everything fellow, that's what it's talking about. That's what the Greek word they said. When somebody said fellow prisoner, it said a union of prisoners of war. That was what Paul said. He says, I want you to salute, I want you to greet this man who we together are prisoners of war. We are in bonds to Christ. We know that's what he's talking about. You know, Paul calls himself a prisoner several times throughout Scripture, but he's not referring to a physical confinement. He never was. We see this, Ephesians 3 and 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. This is who I'm in bondage to. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, in Ephesians 4, 1, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation by which you were called. 2 Timothy 1 and 8, he says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Philemon 1 and 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. We're going to talk about fellow laborer later. For 1 and 9, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee as one of being such as one of Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul talks about this several times. So him making this statement and saying fellow prisoner, you know, it's kind of along line with the way Paul saw himself. This word prisoner, Strong's, okay, in the Greek, when they decided what it was, how they were going to say it, that word meant a captive. That makes sense. But it was derived from another word in Greek, that 1199. It says a band or a ligament or a shackle. So I think about that and I think when I was a cop, what we would say is we would say, hey, hook that guy up. What we knew is we're going to arrest him. Same thing, right? Paul probably said, you know, I'm shackled to Christ. Shackled to him. I'm banded together with him. There's a strong chain that holds us together. This, you know, this word, this 1199, that one that says a band or a shackle, it's derived from another word meaning to bind together. So Paul says, I am bound together. I'm shackled to Christ. I have no choice but to go where he wants me to go. And he says, you know, I want you to salute this man who is a fellow prisoner. He is also bound to Christ, just like me. We are in this together. You know, Paul considers himself shackled to Christ, and we see that he refers to those laboring with him as fellow prisoners. So how does this apply to you? Are we working to find each other bound and shackled to Christ? How do we do that? What does it mean to you? Prisoner has no choice of where he goes. Even a servant or a slave might turn and run if he wants to. But not a prisoner. Many years ago in the police department, we got, every time you make a mistake, you get a policy named after you. There was an officer who had a guy hooked up, right, in handcuffs, who got away from him and went running down there, and that officer, you know, had to find a way to catch him, tased him in the back. The guy got really hurt. So you were no longer allowed to taser people in handcuffs in the back after that. So can't let a prisoner go. Because that prisoner is bound to the law, is bound to the captor. And we don't want to think of Christ as a captor. That sounds bad, but he really is. I hope that you're captivated by him. I hope that he has got you so tight that you can't get away. That you want to be there. I want us to consider ourselves as fellow prisoners in Christ. And that may be kind of the more obscure one that we're going to talk about tonight. Maybe the one that we need to think about a little bit more. How does this apply to you? And are we working to find each other and ourselves bound and shackled to Christ? Together, all of us together. Fellow soldier. Paul says in Philemon 1 and 2, you know, he spends a lot of these books, he begins and he ends with speaking of and saluting, talking about those people who are being influential in the working of the gospel. And he gives a different picture of each one of them. Because he doesn't say the same thing in here. He says, our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. You know, he didn't describe them as fellow prisoners, nor of fellow laborers. He gave this description of someone who is a co-campaigner, that is, an associate in Christian toil. Fellow soldier, right, we might say, although this isn't like a phrase or a word I like to use, but a comrade, right? That's got connotations I don't care for, the comrade, right? What's this picture in your mind? If I were to describe Gary as my fellow soldier in Christ, what would you assume that we do together? I want us to think of some things because we are fellow soldiers, every one of us. Those of us who are sitting here, those of us who are on live stream, we are companions in a battle. What does this picture bring in your mind? What it brings in my mind is youth camp. When these young men on the front row are coming to beat myself and I think Aaron Moser and Kevin and all that with pool noodles and water balloons and all of those things, shields that they made, and it was not comfortable. They were in it together. We were the foes of darkness, and they were the soldiers of Jesus Christ. And they were literally battling us. You know, this is the picture that comes in my mind. I want us to think of some things. So no battle is won when soldiers in the same army fight each other. We struggled with this. we have not done well here. As a local, this has been a failing of ours. And I want to call us higher than that. I want to call us to recognize that we are facing an enemy, and now who are you facing it with? Who are you facing it with? And how do we battle? You know, we're fighting in this world attitudes and perhaps even laws and politics and all those things, but we're fighting powers that are seeking to influence and call out and reach out and all of these things, you know. Who are you facing it with? Are you facing it? Are we in a battle? When you find yourself struggling spiritually, are you curling up in a ball or are you getting on your phone? Are you texting your friends? Are you texting your brothers and sisters in Christ? Hey, listen, I have got to have you fighting with me here. Spiritual struggles. Who knows about it? And who's fighting as your fellow soldier? Are you a prayer warrior? I'm not a particular fan of that phrase, prayer warrior. But I think it gives a picture in my mind. Someone who is dedicated to asking the Lord to intercede on somebody's behalf. And I want to call us to this, that we be fellow soldiers. Alma 20 and 50, you know, it's talking about, this is the account, and it's talking about Moroni, and as he was leading the armies of the Nephites, and it gave all these aspects of all of these things, but it says, you know, the Nephites, they were inspired by a better cause. So the Lamanites, they were just trying to wipe them out, but the Nephites, they had something more important. They weren't fighting for monarchy or power. It wasn't so they could be better than somebody or so they could make slaves. They were fighting for their homes and their liberties, their wives and their children and their all, for their rights of worship and their church. And, you know, it wouldn't be a stretch to me to see every one of those things come under peril this year. It wouldn't be a stretch. And I'm hoping, and I'm going to call us to being there as fellow soldiers in Christ, ready to fight the spiritual battles one with another, as equals, as companions, shoulder to shoulder, fighting those battles for our brothers and sisters as a body of Christ. We find in Scripture this phrase, fellow citizen. Fellow citizen, it comes from Ephesians 2 and 19. I think it's in a couple other places. Paul says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know, a fellow citizen in the Greek, it's a native of the same town that is a co-religionist or a fellow Christian. You know, I want us to think about this, that we are of the same country. We are bound together in Christ. When I went to Africa, I got there. You know, it's those of you who have been there, you know, it's pretty close to 48 hours of travel before you get there. You get there, you're exhausted. For me, you know, Brian, he said, hey, you're a big boy. I'm not going to pick you up at the airport. I'm going to tell you which cab to get in and where to tell them to go. And you're just going to have to trust that they're going to get you there, you know. And got off the airplane in this chaotic place and hope to find someone who's not going to rob me and leave me out in the middle of Nairobi or something like that, you know. And got to the hotel, and Brian was waiting for me there, and down came Moses and Michael. And they came right up to me. Brother Adams, we're so glad to see you. We've been waiting for you to be here. You know, they loved me, never met me. And yep, they called me Adams with an S on the end. I loved it. In fact, there is at least one child there named, I hope it's Adams. I know they named it at least Adam. I hope there's an S at the end. It felt so good. And I've experienced that other places as well, but it felt so good. I walk into this foreign place. I felt in Honduras, walk into this foreign place, but we're the same country. We're the same countrymen. We're citizens of the same place. We don't speak the same language, but the love is there. You know, I believe that within the church, I believe within our local, we all love each other. We don't always see eye to eye. We don't always get along, but we are bonded together in Christ. And I want us to encourage each other in that this year. There is no us and there is no them. I've fallen into that trap. And it is a trap. There is no up. There is no blessing in an us and a them. We are fellow citizens. We are companions in belonging to the same place. Joel talked about this last time he preached, and I want us to think about this. What is unity? This is one of the things, and I've had many conversations with people who have been frustrated and who are not coming to church as frequently, with those who have left, with people who are new in the gospel, and they find themselves frustrated by this lack of unity. You're not united. It's a lack of unity. It really bothers me. And I always ask them, what does that mean to you? I want to talk about this for just a moment, and I want to read Acts 15, 36 through 41. In Acts 15, 36 through 41, we see this account. It says, And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas was determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So if you remember what happened, is there was a previous time when this man, John Mark, and he was someone who was somewhat important. He had hosted people in his home. He had hosted prayer services and things. That time when the disciples, when the apostles, they were in prison and they were miraculously freed, and they went to the home there, and they went to John Mark's home. He was having a prayer service there. They were praying that the Lord would release the disciples, right? So this guy, he was a guy who was trying to make efforts for the Lord. But, you know, we see here that he had gone on this trip with Paul and Barnabas, and for some reason, he decided he didn't want to go with them anymore, and he left them. And so sometime later, here they're having this conversation. Paul says, let's go and see how everybody's doing. And Barnabas says, yep, let's do it. Let's take John Mark. And Paul says, the guy who left us? No. No, we need someone who's reliable to come with us. We don't need that. It says verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches. And so I look at that, and if you do a little Google search on that, you'll see people talking about this terrible contention between Paul and Barnabas. And if you look at it, it says that their contention was sharp, you know, but they had this disagreement with each other over who should take him, if he should come and if he shouldn't, you know. And my opinion is that Paul is probably thinking, listen, I need some reliability here. He hasn't shown it. He's got to prove himself, whatever it is. I don't know. But what I look after that is that they both went. Paul wasn't so upset, or Barnabas wasn't so upset that, hey, you're not taking John Mark with me. I'm going to go sit in my house. They grabbed somebody and they went to do the work. They didn't agree. They didn't agree with each other. Paul and Peter, they didn't agree with each other. Paul was irritated because he showed up and Peter was acting one way around the Greeks and another way around the Jews. And Paul says, it's not right. You can't do that. They didn't agree. But they were entirely united in what they were there to do. We have a unity of purpose because we're fellow citizens. If we think that we're going to see everything the same, we're going to constantly be frustrated. We've been frustrated by that this last year. We our views on the coronavirus, lockdowns and masks and all this sort of stuff, we're not going to convince each other. We're also not going to see everything eye to eye. Can we be united in our purpose because we're fellow citizens? Can we have a common purpose even if we don't agree on some things? Boy, I sure hope we all see it that way. I hope we do. I had to learn that going to ministers' conferences. And you know what? They weren't nearly what they have been in the past, is what I'm told. But you go there and you hear all these differing opinions. And yet I know that even though Ken and I might see something different, we can walk into any house in this neighborhood and we're united on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every one of you should feel that same way. What happens when fellow citizens decide they're no longer willing to support other citizens? It's called civil war. And there's been a dream which was shared with this local, which is worthy of consideration, in which a sister saw some cracks, and Joel talked about this, that was coming and was about to divide our local. So what do you do about this? Not what does Adam the pastor do? Not pointing your finger at Gary saying you should have done something different. You know, not telling Jay, hey, listen, you're an apostle, you got to fix this. What do you do? What's our part? We're fellow citizens. And I want to call us to remember that this year. And I want to call us to put away those things that divide. And not, there's things other than COVID. COVID is almost a year old news. It's going to still be around, whatever it is. But, you know, it's politics. It's frustrations with somebody's kids. It's being irritated that somebody might leave. All these things. But we are fellow citizens. And I want us to think about that. What do you do to strengthen the country, the town, this body of Christ? What do? Because you're a fellow citizen. Yoke fellow. I like this one. Has nothing to do with eggs, Stephen. Not the yoke. And I'm not yoking about that either. You know that was coming. Philippians 4 and 3 is where you see this. I entreat thee also, a true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. You know, Paul is drawing this to a close. The verse before that, he calls out a couple of men and says, I want you guys to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I entreat you also, as true yoke fellows, to take care of those people who are around you. And this word, you know, yoke fellow, it means co-yoked. That means a colleague. A yoke is intended to pull or to bear a burden. That burden might be a burden of sin, some responsibility, the pastorship. There's these burdens there. Right? Gary, were you burdened last year? Did you have a yoke on you? And I feel bad for those times where I wasn't your yoke fellow. I want to call us to this year. And we look at those things that one another is struggling with. I had this conversation with someone the other day, sharing some concerns about our local and about our people. And I said, you know, I learned this as a police officer. I learned this in the fire academy as your group with various people. There are strengths and there are weaknesses. I can be irritated by it, or I can realize that that's what it is. Some people are strong in this and some people are weak in that. I can be frustrated by it. Or I can look to see how we can all pull this weight together. Mosiah 9, 39 and 40 is your desires to come into the fold of God and be called as people and willing to bear one another's burdens, they might be light. And mourn with those that mourn, comfort those that stand in need of comfort, stand as witnesses. We know all this, right? What are Paul's talking about? He's commending us. He's calling to us. He's giving this example. You know, he's calling to, I don't even know how to say his name, Eutychus. He's calling to each of the people of the church of Philippi. Be true yoke fellows. Bear the burdens with each other. Philippians 2 and 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. I want us also to think about this. You know, when we think of those who are burdened, a lot of times our mind is going to go to some of those people who we see as weak, who we see as struggling. You know, Christ said the poor are always going to be among you. And there are some people who we recognize. We all know some people who we see that they have constant struggles. But I want you to also look on those who you see as strong. Everybody is struggling in something. Everybody's struggling in something. And I want to call to us this year to bear the burdens of one another, to seek out relationships with one another so we know and so we're familiar with each other, so that you're comfortable coming to me and saying, hey, listen, this is my struggle. This is where I'm having some difficulty. Would you help me? Would you be with me? Would you bear this burden with me? I want to call us to that, to be a fellow in this, to be a companion in the burdens that come with a Christian walk. Fellow servant. We'll look at this one in Alma. Alma 12:43. That's not the one I wanted. Fellow servants in there, but that's not the one that I meant to put in there. We'll go instead to Colossians. Four and seven. Paul says, "All my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord." You look through the scripture and you see, I like this about Paul. Each one of these men, each one of these laborers, he looks and he gives them a different title of what they do with them. And so this man, he was a fellow servant. He's a co-slave. Says a servitor or ministrant of the same master, a companion in slavery. A servitor, Webster's 1828, is one that acts under another, one that professes a duty and obedience. I've been challenged with this as I've entered into a new career field with lots of new challenges, new conversations, all of those things, as I have this opportunity to build my reputation. Who do I serve? Who do I serve? I've been challenged to think about this as I, throughout my spiritual walk, throughout my life, as I have various frustrations and irritations. Sometimes we rub elbows with each other and we get irritated with each other. And there's this phrase that I like is, who are you carrying water for? When you speak, when you act, who is it that you're serving? Are you serving yourself? Sometimes we say things, sometimes we do things, whether it's with your spouse or with your children, coworker, with someone we're frustrated with, a brother and sister of Christ, and it serves our own needs. I get something off my chest. I was angry with you, and I want you to know that. You know, sometimes we do these things, and we're not serving the Lord. And I want you to consider that. One thing that I'm trying to do this year is I'm trying to slow down when I speak, because I find oftentimes I say things that don't show who I serve. I don't think about what I say, and it doesn't show who I am a slave to, which is Jesus Christ. Galatians 5 and 13, it says, "Brethren, we're called unto liberty, but use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." I am so pleased to hear that a couple weeks ago when we had a COVID outbreak, that people were turning brothers and sisters away from bringing them things. It's the way it should be. When all of this started last year, I was so pleased to see roving bands of Church of Christ, Phoenix local members bringing toilet paper around. It was beautiful because I was interacting with people who didn't know where they were going to get toilet paper from. You know, in my job now, I go to these homes of people who are sick or whatever it is. They have no clue what it would be like to get on the phone and say, "Hey, Sasha, would you bring me something I really needed? I can't get out of my house." They don't have somebody for that. We have opportunities every day to be a servant of the Most High God, doing that which we know when we read in the book of Mosiah, that when we serve one another, find those ways. I'm going to encourage you this year that you find a way to be of service to your brothers and sisters. If you are at your home and you are concerned about going out, I'm okay with that. I'm not frustrated. I want you to take care of yourself, but I don't want you to forget that we have an opportunity. And there are those around you who are there. They are there for you to show your love of Christ to. We're fellow servants. I want to call us to that. There's three other ones here. There's actually one more after this, but three of them here. A fellow laborer, fellow helper, and a work fellow. All of them have the same definition. They're all co-laborers, companions in the labor. When I was in the fire academy recently, every single, you know, of all of us, they separated us out into engine companies. Engine 1 through 4, and then 5 through 8, and then ladder 1 and ladder 2. Each one had a handful of guys in it, and at the end of every day, you had a certain job that you had to do. You're going to go clean the bathrooms. You're going to take out all the trash. You're going to mop the bay. You're going to clean, you know, whatever it is what you're going to have to do. At the end of every one of those things, it says, see a need, fill a need. You finish your job. You look around and you see what needs to be done. I work on a ladder truck right now. And there's a lot of things that have to be done should there be a fire that a ladder truck has to do. There are four people on a truck, and every single one of us, if we show up, we have a handful of things that we have to do or we cannot function. And there's no way to get around it. And one of these things that I was taught from the very beginning is you know, the senior firefighter took me aside and he said, listen, when we get out and we have to do all of these things to get this ladder truck in operation, he says, you're going to be the first one out of this back seat. He says, when you're going to where you're supposed to go, he says, we don't walk past work. So as you walk past here, you know the engineer's got to get into this cabinet, so you're going to open that up. And you know that someone's got to get up this ladder, get on the turntable, so you're going to pull that down. And so when you get around, you're going to beat everybody over here, so you're going to open up this side. All that, and he says, you know, you're never going to walk past work. We don't walk past work on this ladder company. And I thought, that's a really interesting thing. And it's got this connotation that's even bigger than that. And that is something that I've learned in the fire department. You know, I need to do a better job of this at my house. I've really been I've been challenged by that you know, at my house, I walk past work all the time. You know, I wouldn't do it at the station. I walk past some garbage sitting on the ground, even out in the parking lot, and I'm like, man, I better pick that up. And I want us to think about that here. I want us to think about that with our brothers and sisters. I want you to think about that we don't walk past work. That we look to see what the needs are that brothers and sisters have, and that we take up this labor together to help one another, to help the cause of the gospel, that we don't walk past work. Don't pass something off on me. I can probably do it, but so can Jesse. Youth camp, we have a saying, you see it, you own it. It's a great saying. It stops us from going and saying, you know, Bob's in charge. Now, hey, Bob, I saw something a couple hours ago over here. These kids were doing something. Well, did you do anything about it? Well, no, I was going to come to you for it. Well, no. If you see it, you own it. This is yours. We don't walk past work. 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 9. For one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you have believed, as the Lord gave to every man. I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And now he that planteth and watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You know, Paul says here, he says, I planted the seed of the gospel. I'm nothing. It was God who helped put that there. Apollos was there, and he helped to teach you after I introduced you to the gospel. But Apollos is nothing. It was God who was doing the work. But something that's important there is they were all laboring. They were both looking for something. Paul and Apollos, how can I work for the cause of the gospel? How can I work to be a strength to every one of you in Corinth? How can I do that? I want to call you to be fellow laborers. Don't walk past work. There is plenty to do in a local. And you know, and I had this conversation earlier with someone that is, you know, you can serve. There are ways that you can serve. There are needs that can be filled. It's a service to send a text message. It's a service to pray for someone. It's a service to empty a garbage can. It's a service. So many years of my life growing up, and even when I kind of became more spiritually aware, you know, for me it was always like, hey, you know, Don McAdoo will take care of that. That whole preaching and teaching thing, that whole exhorting, that whole, you know, praying for the right words and all that, you know, Don will take care of that. Jay will take care of that. You know, Brother Don is not here. Not what he used to be. When does it become my turn? When does it become your turn? Don't walk past work. Let's be fellow laborers here. And I'm going to close here. Fellow heirs. This comes from Ephesians. We see this in Ephesians 3 and 6. He's talking about the gospel going to the Gentiles. And Paul says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You know, this is kind of important, right? A co-heir, that is by analogy, a participant in common. You know, it's derived from this Greek 28:18, which you go through the parentheses stuff, it says, you know, that word that an heir was taken from is a sharer by lot or an inheritor, right? An heir is to be an inheritor of something. You know, when my father passed away, my sister and I were set to be heirs of not much, you know, but it was ours. And you know, we have people, we probably all know people who, you know, some father or grandparent or whatever passed away and they became an heir to some tremendous fortune or a piece of property or house or all those sorts of things, you know. This is important that Paul was talking about this because even though he's talking to Ephesus, he's still talking to these groups of people, and there were Jews and there were Gentiles in all of these places, and he's helping them to understand that, like, you know, the Gentiles also, you know, Peter had to be convinced by this vision of the Lord that the Gentiles were there to be preached to as well. And Paul is saying they're also fellow heirs. They're also going to inherit these things. And so I have this question here concerning this church, concerning all of these things that we have, you know, this building, this local. If we have a part of something that will be ours, how do we treat it? And the second part, as someone who has something to pass on to someone to inherit, how do we treat that inheritance? How do we treat that inheritor? How do we prepare them for it? I'm going to ask a question. Have we done a good job with our youth? I'm going to ask a question. Have we done a good job with our marriages? I don't necessarily have an answer. I want us to think about these things. Have we done a good job with our building? I want this to be something that we consider and that we think about. We've done a good job with the gospel. Have we shared it appropriately, correctly? You know, ministry, myself, you know. Have I really understood the things that I've preached? Have I put time into prayer so that when I say something, it's of importance, it's of value, because I'm sharing something that helps somebody in their inheritance? Something good that they're looking forward to. Giving you a handful of questions, things for you to think about. I can send this to you later if you want to consider these things again, or if you don't want to, it's up to you, right? But I want to challenge us this year. My goal is to challenge us. Do I think that I'm going to, that all of a sudden 2022 is rolling around and I can pat myself off on the back and say, Adam, you turned this whole thing around. I hope not, because that would be so prideful for myself. But I just want to see us grow. Not that I don't want to see us do better. It's not what I say. I don't want anything that I can look to myself and say, oh, Adam, you did a great job. I want to see the Lord working in abundance with us. We're going to be planning a day, possibly two, coming up where we're going to ask this local to fast and pray. And not on a Wednesday. Look at those eyes, Haley. The what? As fellow heirs. As having something that we want to treat well and pass on and share and all of these things, you know. We're going to ask you to do that. Stephen and I and the ministry meeting, we talked about it today. And, you know, we want to do some of these things this year. Not to change everything, not to make people uncomfortable, but to challenge us, to come up higher, to challenge us to be coming here excited, to be excited and talking to our brothers and sisters outside of here, sharing things, having testimonies, coming here with this expectation that when we walk in these doors, when we hear the message, when we sing the songs, when we hear the testimony, we're flooded by the Holy Spirit. I talked to someone the other day. I'm not going to say who it is, and and I won't share it with anybody, at least who it was, but they said, you know, I was at work, and they texted me. They said, you know, there is no energy here. They weren't saying, I'm going to leave. They're saying, we used to have energy, excitement. Where is that? I longed for it. This person said, I came here and that was what I looked for and I want that again. Where is it? I want to call to us and challenge you that we be seeking the Lord and we gain back that excitement and that fervor and that zeal. Everyone who sits in here, you have a part in it. And everyone who watches on live stream, you have a part of it. No one is absolved. Everyone has responsibility. No one gets out of it. We're fellow citizens. We're fellow heirs. We're fellow servants. We're fellow laborers. We're yoke fellows. This is what we are. This is what's on my heart. I'll close with this, Acts 2, 44 through 47. And they that believed were together. The word together, if you look at the Greek, is kind of strange. It first starts out and it talks about wind blowing something back. Not able to go forward or to separate. All that believed were together. They had all things common. We've done a great job of that. We've taken care of the needs of our people. I'm so pleased with that. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to every man as they had need. They, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm certain I gave you probably too much to think about. And I hope that you grab just a couple things, and I want you to think about it this week. And in my daily bread that I'm going to send out, either tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to touch on another one of these things, and just to remind you of it. I want us to be thinking of these things. I want you to be in the Word. I want you to be talking to each other about the Scriptures. I want you to be looking for how we can come together. We are fellows. We are together. We are companions in this gospel. So I thank you for your time, and I appreciate your attention tonight.